protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products. Save big money
at Menards. Hey, guys. Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudes, dudettes, you're listening to a podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Tune, Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so as we've been saying since episodes 60.5 and episodes 61 and 62, we are going to be reformatting Tune Beyond and moving towards a seasonal format. What this means is instead of overall cartoon series reviews, we're going to go take a look at each season in depth. Today, we're going to give you our thoughts on TMNT 2003 Season 1. Dun, dun, dun. And Steve has nothing to say about this yet. Great. Doesn't matter if we podcast at 5 a.m., folks, or midnight. Yeah. All right, so setting the stage, this is the series from Fox Kids / 4Kids and whatever other Fox Box, whatever other thing that thing became way back when, 13.
Fox.
Oh my God, 13 years ago.
It was on.
No.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, it is 13 years, yeah, because, yeah.
What's funny is how many different networks this show has been on.
Yeah, because it's had so many seasons, but we are going to be talking about season one. Just to give you an overall kind of setting the stage, kind of behind the scenes kind of thing, the series, in a large part, is a larger scope of the Turtles' adventures. It takes them from the sewers to the streets of New York City, namely April's apartment, to the woodlands of rural New England, to outer space, alternate dimensions, to the future, and ultimately home once more. My first impressions 13 years ago, oh my God, I was 23, holy crap, oh God. I was still, you know, obviously we both grew up on the 87 series and the original movies and all that, and I wasn't in the 87 series. I mean, the 87 series ran from 87 to 96. It ran almost, well, it did run 10 seasons. I think it ran into 97 as well, but I could be wrong about that. But, I mean, the original series had 10 years. This one had, I don't know, 5 or 6, I think, something like that. I remember back then in 2003 when Saturday morning cartoons were still Saturday morning cartoons, unlike today. I remember really digging the show. I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I was 23. I was, you know, in college and doing some stuff with, you know, trying to get a degree and all that crap way back then. But, I mean, I had caught up with several of the episodes. I watched enough of the show at the time when it first aired that I knew the different voices of the Turtles. I knew Splinter's voice. I knew Shredder's voice. And I knew somewhat of what the show was going on. But back then, I wasn't, like, watching it every single week. It's not because I didn't want to. It's just I was growing out of cartoons back then, I guess. I don't know, which is weird. But what are your first impressions? What do you first remember watching this show initially?
I remember watching it when it started airing, which is funny enough because I was nearing the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I was like 11th grade when I caught it. And I wasn't really sure what to think of it. Because I was expecting the original 87 Turtles, not what this was, because it's a lot more serious, a lot less like kind of, let's just say it for what it is. The 80s one was a lot more campy, not to the extent that Turtles Forever, you know, parodied it, but it was definitely not as kind of goofy as that show and kind of. The turtles were more, you know, in hiding than in the open, and
yeah,
there was the color palette was darker. The voice actors were similar to the originals, but they weren't. Again, they weren't like kind of like upbeat. They were more dark and more more centered to their character, and so it was kind of interesting to see this new direction that they were taking Turtles, and not that I had a problem with it, because I didn't. Each incarnation has actually been really good in its own way, but it's got almost that, and I've seen this reference a couple different places, almost kind of a akin to like a Justice League type of style to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they were trying to homage and kind of go by the original Mirage Comics style. They didn't want it too dark, but they didn't want it too bright. They just wanted somewhere in the middle, and I think it fell very well with what we got. I have spent, folks, the last two or three weeks in getting this episode prepared. I've actually watched the entire first season, and it's the first time I've seen it in at least 10 years, maybe. I haven't seen this show. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I always knew the show existed, but I never actually sat down to watch it. And through somebody, I don't remember who the hell it even was. And I'm not going to say what the website is. If people want me to, if you want to know where I'm finding all these cartoons to watch, just email me or DM me on Twitter or whatever, at TFGUnMike. But I, you know, I've spent the last two or three weeks getting prepared, kind of getting into the new year and being prepared for us to do this discussion. And I watched the first 26 episodes of the first season, and man, does this show kick shell. Just does. So as always, even though this is a seasonal review, we still have to go through the who's who of the show as far as the voice cast. The main cast includes Mike Sintricum. I can't even say his last name. The guy that voices Leonardo, Dark Leonardo, Graviturtle, and Lord Heavy. I just can't. I'm not even going
to
try.
Do you want me to?
You can try if you'd like.
He plays who?
Leo. Plays the very first on the list there.
Okay.
It's Mike Sinterniklas, I guess. Sinterniklas? I don't know. Sam Riegel plays Donatello, Dr. Chaplin, Zippy Lad for the first time, Dark Donatello.
Electro,
yep. Frank Frankson plays Raph, Dark Raph, Griddix, and Officer Laird. Wayne Grayson is Mikey.
That's funny. Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Wayne Grayson is Mikey, Krang, Gruul, Metalhead, Dark Mikey, Blaboid, and a bunch of other...
Shokunobu.
Yeah. Cyber Shredder. Greg Carey, no relation to Jim, is Hun. As far as I know, it's no relation to Jim Carey.
Different spell.
Yeah. Darren Dunstan is Splinter, and he's also the Council of Three and a few others. David Zen Mansley is Bishop, Savanti Romero, Zog, Rat King, Monzaram, and a bunch of other characters. Karen Neal is Karai. Scotty Reyes, Shredder, Okosaki, Tengu Shredder.
All the various Shredders.
Yeah. Veronica Taylor, a.k.a. Ash Ketchum from Pokemon, is April O'Neil.
Nice.
Mark Thompson is Casey Jones, Ultimate Daimyo, Drago, Mr. Touch, various others. Scott Williams is Baxter, and Christopher C. Adams is Cody Jones. And there are a bunch of other guests, guest characters and stuff like that. Under the guest characters, like, was this show not Union? Because I don't recognize any of these people. Like, even in the main cast.
I think they were going for a lot of different voices, yeah. And I don't think that it was any... I think because it was such a huge pool.
Because,
mm-hmm. Like, they even have, like, second voice or like, first voice of some of the characters. So, like, mm-hmm. Well, Sean Schemmel's in there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Sean Schemmel.
Ancient Juan and Nobody and some other people. He's mm-hmm. about the only name that I recognize in that list.
Yeah.
He's Goku. Yeah. In Dragon Ball Z. The rest of them, I have no idea who they are.
Yeah, I'm wondering if... I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great. And like I said, we've only seen... Or I've only seen so far the first season. And I've seen the other seasons in passing. But as I said at the beginning of this, I've never actually watched this show all the way through. Not that I didn't want to, it's just one of those things, folks, when I've got so much content to to consume.
Brain can only process so much.
Yeah, your brain can only process so much. You know, it's like when we first started Tooncast Classic and even now with Tooncast Beyond, everybody's asking, oh, are you gonna do this? Are you gonna do this? Are you gonna do this? My answer is always, we'll get to it sooner or later. and we'll, and that's kind of why I wanted to do the seasonal breakdown now instead of doing an overall kind of thing for the show, for the whole show, because this allows us to, do various different cartoons and give you guys, the listeners, a variety of stuff instead of just saying, oh, hey, this is our definitive episode of this. And we're actually going to be going back... and redoing some old classic stuff as well, Tooncast classic stuff in the coming months and years and however the hell long my voice holds out. But Two Turtles, season one. Do you remember the first episode that you had seen of this, or did you just see the very first episode, or was it? Did you fall somewhere in the middle? Or I know you said you watched it when it was airing. So,
yeah, I mean, I started watching it right when it first started coming on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no, no time lapse really. I like pretty much immediately started watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. So the first 26 episodes, we have this starting off. What I love about this show, and this is what a lot of shows were doing back at this time in 2003, as you mentioned earlier about Justice League. Justice League ran from 2001 or 2006, and there were a lot of shows at this time, not just cartoons, but also live action TV that would do the intro clip. And then you would get whatever the theme song was or whatever the actual opening to the show. You know, you compare this to 87. 87, as soon as it came on, you had the opening intro, and then it went right into the story. It was kind of like, opening a book. You know, you have the beginning, first few covers. It's kind of like the theme song. You have the little title card, and then you open the story. With this opens at some point in the story of that episode. And they leave you on a cliffhanger, and then they bring you into the intro. What did you think of that story device?
I kind of like it. It kind of gives that normal breakout thing that they do on most modern shows, or at that time anyway.
Mm. Yep. I gotta say, folks, this season one story just progressed so well. I mean, you start off with the turtles kind of going up against the purple dragons, and then we get into Baxter.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, did they have purple dragons in the original show?
No.
That's what I thought. That was something that was a little odd to me in this, but I just kind of rolled with it.
This one, no, in the original cartoon, it was Bebop and Rocksteady and the Punks. And then it was basically Krang and Shredder and Dimension X and all that stuff. We will be going back, people. As I said earlier, we are going to be covering various classic Tooncast classic episodes as seasons at some point. So I'm sure we'll be going back to 87 and 88 and all that good stuff. But no, they didn't have the Purple Dragons back then. I didn't mind it here because, again, you know, watching this now, 13 years after it aired, I, you know, went into it thinking, okay, Turtles. I love Turtles. I want to see what they do with this. And I've been watching the current Nick series that's been going on since 2012. So I'm like, okay, I know the 2003 series is a bit different. So let's, you know, kind of go in with an open mind and see what happens. And the Purple Dragons was a nice little added element because one thing that always kind of bugs me about Turtles in New York City is they very rarely show any people. Like, they do and they don't. It just depends. But most of the time in the cartoons, when you're facing Baxter or Shredder or Krang or whatever, there's no other citizens around. There's no police around. And I understand that, and I'm not complaining about that. But that was one of the things I liked about this, where they show you that, oh, New York still has street gangs and yada, yada, yada. So this season opens with kind of, like I said, opens with this, you know, things change kind of thing. And then we go into the Baxter story with the Mousers. It's almost mimicking the first five episodes of the original 87 series. It's just a little bit more serious because that's kind of the route that the 87 series took. Was, you know, you had the Turtles find, you know, in their lair meeting April. With this one, it was kind of different because you had April not as a reporter, but she was a tech girl working for Baxter Stockman. What'd you think of that?
Of them kind of mirroring the start.
That and April not being the reporter.
I was fine with April not being a reporter. That was kind of like a easy way to kind of throw her into the original show. And then having her be kind of techie in this was kind of interesting to do. That different. They keep mutating her character every season, or every, not every season, every show.
Every incarnation,
to be something different, to fill that role that they need that isn't really present. And I'm fine with that. As far as kind of mimicking some of the episodes in the initial, like, original show, you know, with the Mousers, kind of seemed like a natural progression to kind of get that in there. You have the Punks that were the, you know, the Purple Dragons, basically, and then you have Stockman, which kind of foregoes having Shredder, you know, at least initially be the villain.
Yeah, you have Stockman being the villain at first in this first season, and then Shredder comes out, but see, Shredder here is so... It's not the Shredder we know. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's...
Well, he's at least human to begin with.
To begin with, yeah.
There are others.
Yeah.
That would be another.
Yeah. Through smaller doses, through future mutants. But yeah, no, I mean, Shredder in the beginning is human. He is a Rokusaki. We do get the story of how, instead of what happened in the 87 series where Hamato Yoshi became Splinter, this follows, like I said, the Mirage comics. And for me, because I've never actually read the original Mirage comics, this follows for me the original movie plot line from 1990, where Splinter is the pet of Hamato Yoshi, and Hamato Yoshi dies, and Splinter gets mutated along with the Turtles.
And I do find it funny, though, that Marty Eisenberg's got a lot of writing credits for the first season.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Michael Ryan and Eric Luke. Yeah. They're all, like, pretty much the main...
They're pretty much the guys, yeah.
Marty Eisenberg has a lot of them, though.
Yep. I just think it's awesome. I really, really do. As we go through the season, we have episodes including The Shredder Strikes, Parts 1 and 2,
which
where
Theo meets Rokusaki.
Yep. And Oroku Saki tries to basically corrupt Leo to joining his side, and that doesn't exactly work. We encounter the Sword of Tengu. Yeah, nobody needs to touch that without a glove.
That's what she said.
Just
I do find it interesting that they actually take, you know, a lot of the two-parters and a lot of stuff, or three-parters mm-hmm. throughout the season. There's also, you know, they have TCRI in there.
See that was the cool thing for me about this show. Is you have a nice setup at the beginning with, for the first season, you have the introduction of the Turtles, you have the introduction of the Purple Dragons in the first episode. You then have the Baxter storyline, which leads up to the Shredder storyline. We have the introduction of Shredder. We then have a three-parter called Notes from the Underground, because during the first 11 episodes of this first season, we have the Turtles needing to, because of the Mousers, needing to find a new lair. Splinter finds this new lair, but apparently it's some sort of alien, it's some sort of alien foreign thing to them. And with Notes from the Underground, we find out it was part of Shredder's underground labs and whatever else. And we find these, I don't want to call them super mutants, but these really deranged-looking mutants, and they've been so mutated to the point where they'll probably never become human again, and the story evolves into, oh, well, if you keep them down here in this, you know, hidden, like, journey to the center of the earth kind of place, they're like, oh, they'll survive, they'll be all right, they'll be human again if they stay here. But if they don't stay here, then they'll change to mutants again. And then the season gets back to, you know, Shredder obviously is not gone. He comes back, you know, return to New York, all that stuff. What did you think of it being Casey's grandma's farm instead of April's?
You know, it really didn't bother me on that kind of specific. Yeah. Like, because those kind of little details, I don't really care. It's when they majorly change something, but I was fine with that.
I like the episode, season one, episode 16, The King. This was their homage to Jack the King Kirby, where they basically have him, you know, have an animated character renting out April's basement. I thought that was kind of cool. And he has some sort of magic crystal that allows all his drawings to come to life. And it was just,
there was an actual
really
book of that in the 87. I have it.
Okay.
And it's Donatello goes into this alternate world
mm-hmm.
that Kirby draws or writes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's through a mirror type thing. Goes to another dimension. That's it's really trippy, but I still have it. It's actually somewhere in the office, like with the books that I had as a kid. So
cool. Yeah, so we have that episode. Another episode we had was, because what I like about this series is it's a full on continuity. Everybody knows I'm a continuity buff, and it's pretty much a full on storyline from episode 1 to episode 26. But there are a couple, like the whole, you know, like the King episode, there are a couple of one offs here, and it's not honestly a bad thing at all, because it actually gives us time to look at the Turtles, like what's that one? Let's see. What? Oh God! What is that episode? Is it the Unconvincing Turtle Titan or something? Yeah, it's when Mikey tries to become a superhero. Yeah, that's what it is. The Unconvincing Turtle Titan, season one, episode 12. Mikey trying to become a superhero. That's just hilarious. I just love that so much. As we progress through this, as I said, we have a second, you know, kind of final battle with Shredder here. This is when the Council and Bishop are revealed to us, the viewers. Bishop is revealed to the Turtles as, you know, a friend. And it turns into they need to find Splinter. Something has happened to Splinter. Someone's got him. No one knows what happened. And we eventually get back to, I guess, the Techno... I guess it could be called the Technodrome. We get... Oh, no, it's the TCRI.
Yeah, they don't have the Technodrome in this.
Yeah, they don't have the Technodrome in this, yeah. It's TCRI building. They get to that, and we find Splinter is captured. And what did you think of this? Because this ends with the search for Splinter two-parter. What did you think of a season of a cartoon ending on a cliffhanger? Because it ends with a two-beacon. Like part two of the search for Splinter doesn't wrap up. It doesn't get a happy ending. It basically says to be continued at the end of it.
I'm perfectly fine with that because it's no different than any other show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's I kind of expect it from a good show for the most part. Because how else are they going to hook you into another season? Besides the fact that, it's Turtles.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have a favorite episode or a favorite two-parter or a favorite storyline from this first season that you really liked out of them all?
Really, I like anytime the Shredder's present, which is not really narrowing it down all that much. But I usually enjoy those episodes more than anything. But I would definitely say, like, almost the Shredder strikes is kind of the best in there because of the fact that you get Shredder playing the other side of the fence trying to say, hey, I'm just this Oroku Saki guy, and I'm fighting evil, and you come join me. And Leo's like, oh, I come join you. And they're like, no, talk to Splinter first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just, I don't know, that's just kind of fun there to, it's a different take on the Shredder showing that, it's playing the sly card instead of, you know, like, oh, trust me. And then they're like, you know, they find out his true motives and he's like, I'll kill you. You don't stand with me, you evil bastard.
Yeah. If you like that storyline, you're really going to like, and I know I gotta get you around to reading this, but you're going to really like the City Fall storyline that IDW did for Turtles, for their ongoing Turtle series, because it essentially is that, but it's in comic form, and it's not the exact same thing, because Shredder in the comics is not a Neutron, but at least not in the IDW series, he isn't. But it's just so powerful with the way that they've set all that up. For me, with season one, I like the Donnie and the Mikey episodes. I think if there was an episode I could do without, I mean, I know it was character progression for them, and that's fine. But the one episode I could probably not need to watch again is Raph and the Cub. That episode was a little weird. I mean, I get they're trying to progress Raph's character, and I get he's trying to, you know, be a teacher to the kids. Kind of like when Raph met Casey Jones in this series. You know, obviously going through Raph's anger issues, and Raph has kind of realized, oh my God, I am too angry. And then he comes up against Casey, and Casey's like 10 times worse than his anger is, and he's trying to teach. I mean, I like that character development, but. I don't know. That Raph and the Cub episode was just a little too weird for me. Do you have a favorite voice of either the Turtles or Shredder or any other characters? Do you get a favorite voice out of this one?
I do enjoy Shredder's, but I almost like the... I'd rather hear this Casey Jones compared to the original TMNT.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't care for the original. It was too... I don't know. Backwoods, like, you know, I like this one better. It was kind of more, I don't know, normal, you could say.
Yeah,
and then some of the Turtles, like, they were more serious, so I kind of liked that a little bit more, even though it wasn't the original actors. Because a lot of your old voices kind of mesh together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't carefully listening, there's a more distinguished voice to all the Turtles. So in that, right. I like that.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about Casey in this series to this point in season one is him having the catchphrase, Goongala! And I'm like, oh, God, Casey, come on.
That's a bad, you know, like early 2000s.
Yeah, I know. For me, it's probably Donnie and Mikey. I've always loved Donnie and Mikey. They've always been my favorites, and this was on for about 5 years or so, from 2003 to 2008. So, actually, no, last aired 2003 to 2010. No, this was on for 7. Wow. Yeah, season one was pretty awesome. Going back and watching it again. For the kind of like the first time and noticing all the different character traits and noticing how good the animation is. I mean, for 2003 animation.
I will say though, around that time period, like in the late 90s and the early 2000s, kind of like that, and that kind of almost 6 year gap, there was a lot of this type of animation, really dark, gritty kind of style to them. Like if you look at you know, Spider-Man Unlimited, G.I. Joe Extreme, and like this, like it's a lot of the same type of aesthetic. I mean, this is more polished than those, but it's still a lot darker.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot more serious. Yeah, absolutely. And I just absolutely love it. I mean, comparing it to the original 87 series, like I said, it's you know, it's apples and oranges, or it's you know, two sides of the same coin kind of thing. After watching the first season and ending on the cliffhanger of the To Be Continued, I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess I'll start watching the second season now. And I'm realizing, oh, wait, I need to wait to do that because I need to give people some time between. Because how I want to space out the seasonal stuff, folks, is I want to give you, like, 10 episodes of season ones of various cartoons, and then later on down the line, another 10 episodes of season twos or whatever else. So, but I mean, just as, you know, just as pure enjoyment, I almost went and found season two, and I'm like, oh, season two, let's watch this now. Wait a minute. I gotta just pace myself here. But the animation was top notch. The way the story was done was great. The voice acting was stellar. So many different visuals in this show now. You know, you got the battle shell. The battle shell is kind of awesome, depending on who drives it. But the battle shell is awesome. The fact that Raph has his own motorcycle that comes out of the back of it, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, this show is turning out to be, I don't know, after watching the first season of this and then watching several episodes of the 87 series and still watching the 20, I don't know where, like, if I was going to rank just the three cartoon series, I don't know where I would put any of them, like 1, 2, or 3. Right now, 2003 is just, because I'm kind of engrossed into it, it's kind of, probably hitting my number one at this point for turtle stuff, for animation anyway. What are you looking forward to in the future seasons as we go through this?
I could have swore there was, and for some reason it's in the back of my mind, and I don't remember if this is actually like a part of the show or not. I could have swore there was, in the 2003 show, that there was an episode where April O'Neil got mutated.
I don't remember.
And I can't remember for sure, but I could have swore I saw an episode like that, and I was like, what the hell? it's something that stuck with me about the show, like, for ages. And then the fact that it changes, you know, directions, like, 3-4 times during the show.
The first 4 seasons are pretty much straightforward storytelling. Each season just kind of changes, but when we get to season 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, they either all have subtitles or they have, you know, elements to them. Like, I think season 6 is fast forward when they time travel and all that stuff, which at the time I remember when the fast forward season was on TV, I do remember just kind of cringing at that. I'm like, wait, what? And it wasn't even really the content of the show that I was cringing at. It was just seeing the advertisements of it and realizing, fast forward, what are they doing fast forward? It's like, are they stuck in the VCR or something? Who knows?
Huh? VCR.
Yeah. But I am very much looking forward to watching more of the 2003 Turtles series. As I said, just everything about season one, just absolutely loved it. There wasn't, like, normally when I go through and I do a full-on review show of any cartoon, you know, you take a look at TFG1 or Beast Unleashed or Transformation Animation or any of those, or Powers of Grayskull or Mask or whatever, I usually try to find stuff that I can analyze or nitpick at. I really have no, like, individual nitpicks for this first season. It was all just so damn good. Like I said, there's probably one or two episodes I could not need to watch again. Like I said, Raph and the Cub. But other than that, this was a fun ride back there, you know, to what was going on in animation 13 years ago. On a scale of 0 to 5 stars, what would you give season one?
I'd probably give it a 4, to be fair. Like, it's not perfect, mm-hmm. but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And I can actually, like, there's not a lot of animated shows that when I grew up, before high school ended or whatever, that I can still go back and watch.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of shows that can do that for me. Like, even the 87 Turtles, like, a lot of the episodes are, like, big floating turds. Like, there's nothing good about them. I'm not saying there aren't good episodes, because there are plenty of good episodes in the old show. There's certain ones I just can't watch anymore.
Because I watched it
so much as a kid. I quit watching after, like, season 8 of the original show.
Yeah, see, for the original show, I didn't even...
I had the entire series.
Much of it. I watched, like, the first... Well, the first season is just so silly. And this is the way stuff was done back then. The first season of the 87 shows is just the first five-parter, the opening five-parter, and then it goes into season 2. And see, the beginning of season 2, we get the continuation there with the hot-rodding teenagers and all that stuff. But, like... as a kid watching that show, I stopped probably somewhere around the middle of season 2. So again, that's one of the reasons why with this Tooncast Beyond new format, the seasonal format, it's going to be interesting going back and watching some of the classic stuff that we've already done in Tooncast Classic in this seasonal format now, to kind of give everybody updated versions of those old episodes and also get our fresh takes now and see how, you know, the shows stack up today. As a rating, I am also going to give it a 4. Like I said, there are just a couple of things that I can think of that just kind of are meh for me on the show. But other than that, overall, I thought the whole storytelling, the voice acting, the animation, all stellar. Some of the concepts, some of the story concepts are really, really interesting. When and where? Well, when and where? I believe the show is on DVD. I thought it was on DVD at some point.
I'm pretty sure it is. And you can catch it on Nickelodeon sometimes.
Yeah, that was the other thing. When I still had cable television, Nicktoons, the retro cartoon thing that Nickelodeon has called Nicktoons. They did over New Year's or over, I don't know, I think it was like New Year's last year or something, or the beginning of 2015. They had like a whole week where from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, they were running this series, not necessarily season one, but they were running this series on Nickelodeon every Monday through Friday for about 2 weeks during the holiday season of 2014 and 2015. Looking at TV shows on DVD.com, the show was released in various seasons. Season 1, Volume 1 and 2, Season 2, Part 1 and Part 2, Season 4, Season 5, Season 6, Volume 1 and 2, and then there's various individual episode releases like Meet Casey Jones and Cowabunga Christmas and Michelangelo's Christmas Rescue and that kind of stuff. So the show is on DVD. You can find at least Season 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. I don't know why Season 3 or Season 7, 8, and 9 are not there, but you can find it on DVD. And as I said earlier, if you really want to find the whole show, just message me and I'll send it over to you as far as where I found it online. We're going to take a quick break. You can hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back with final words, final thoughts, and all that good stuff after this.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so tiny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.
A female He-Man. This is the worst day of my life.
We've told the tales of Eternia, and now we head to a different dimension to explore the myths of Etheria. Join Optimus Solo and TFJ and Mike as they continue their MOTU journey by exploring She-Ra, Princess of Power. 35 podcast episodes covering the entire run of She-Ra, the Christmas special, and more. You can find Myths of Etheria on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. For the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and geekcastradio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
We are back here on Tooncast Beyond episode 63, and it is time for the last words, final words, all that good stuff. Has season one, watching it again now, has it made you want to watch the rest of the seasons?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm getting back into my turtle kick right now anyway, so it's kind of fitting that...
Megatron notwithstanding.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying because, like, I'm catching up on season four of the new one right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm definitely looking forward to more.
Yeah, I am too. I love this first season. I love how tech savvy Donnie is. How kind of part Mikey has always been. Even in the old show, he can get serious, but he's always been the party dude, but he, you know, when he needs to get serious, he can. And I like how they're growing this version of Mikey's character. Raph starting off as the hothead and kind of mellowing out a little bit. And Leo, of course, having, the whole leadership thing and the, you know, we must follow the ancient ways and all that stuff. I am so, like, I almost want to start watching season two now. I'm not going to because we've got so many other cartoons we're going to be doing before we get back to a season two kind of thing. So I'm very, very much looking forward to this. You got anything you want to promote before we close it out?
Just check out Altered Geek every week on Fridays.
Yes. And what about the The VeggieTales show. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Fit Ready Go. It's the podcast with my wife and I, and we're currently doing a vegetarian challenge all month, so it's been a chore. I'm ready for meat.
That's what she said.
Oh, all right.
That's what you get. All right, you can also go over to geekcastradio.com. As of right now, as of the 20th of January, you have seven days left to go fill in your votes. Five?
Yeah, no. Five.
Doesn't it end the 27th?
27th is when the voting starts.
Oh, don't.
I wrote it. I remember.
Yeah. Okay, so you got 5 days from now to go over to geekcastradio.com, click on our third annual podcast award banner thing, and fill out the form. Fill out your favorite TV shows, movies, video games, comics, all that stuff. You can also select favorite core podcast from us here at the GCRN, favorite review show, favorite syndicated content, and you can also write in your other choices and suggestions for podcasts that are not affiliated with us as well. So go do that. Go do that now. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Please let us know how we're doing in this new format. Follow us on Twitter. At ToonCastBeyond is the show Twitter. You can follow at GeekCastRadio for all the other network updates. Mine is TF21Mike. What is your Twitter?
SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCast or Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. There is a 5-minute time limit. We hope you enjoyed this episode of ToonCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts. Actually, my girl Jen, Spicy Demon, is going to be joining me for this one. First time ever in the GeekCast Radio Network 7 years, we're going to have My Little Pony coverage on any show. So we're going to be reviewing My Little Pony.
Who's Little Pony?
Friendship is... Shut up. We're going to be reviewing My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Season 1. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Oh, hi, Pinkie Pie.
This is your singing telegram. I hope it finds you well. You're invited to a party because we think you're really swell. Got me turning 1 year old, so help us celebrate. The cake will be delicious. The festivities first rate. There will be games and dancing, Bob for apples, cut a rug. And when the party's over, we'll gather round for a group hug. No need to bring a gift, being there will be enough. Birthdays mean having fun with friends, not getting lots of stuff. It won't be the same without you, so we hope that you say yes. So please, oh please, RSVP and come and be our guest. Next time, I think I'll just pass out written invitations.
My little pony, my little pony. Ah, my little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be.
My little pony.
Until you all shared its magic with me. Big adventure.
Tons of fun.
A beautiful heart, faithful and strong.
Sharing kindness.
It's an easy feat.
And magic makes it all complete.
You have mine. Do you know you're all my very best friends?